Our scripture from Hebrews reminds us that we have come to Jesus, a mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. One of my professors in seminary was teaching about ministry in the parish and homes and hospitals. He said, "Raise your hand if you are squeamish." And several of us raised our hands. He said, "You should not become a pastor." And I suppose the same could be said for those training to be doctors, nurses, or other first responders. The sight of blood can literally render us unconscious. Blood can not only change our sight to blackness, it carries a message. It can have a profound effect on your whole being. In the scripture, we're reminded that blood has a profound impact on God. Blood speaks to God. When Cain killed his own brother, he spilled his brother's blood on the ground. It was the very first capital crime against humanity. Just one generation past Adam and Eve, our first parents. Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice, but Cain did not. And so Cain was jealous. Cain lured his brother out into a hidden place, out into the field, and permanently eliminated him, thinking that he kept his evil deed a secret, perhaps even a secret from God. But God is all seeing and he's all hearing. He hears things that sometimes we cannot hear. And in this case, Cain's brother's blood. He heard Abel breathe his last, and he saw that Cain could not hide and could not muffle or silence his brother's blood. And so God says, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." Abel's blood continued to speak. It told a story, and it began to cry out for justice, for vengeance, for retribution and punishment for this crime. And sadly for us, the world has not seemed to change much since this crime. The voice of blood still cries out here in Chicago and all across our nation and across the world. Blood calls for judgment. It calls and yearns for crimes to be dealt with. And that is the experience of the human struggle all around the world. The voice of the fallen and their blood crying out. God hears those cries, the scripture reminds us. He hears the blood crying out in the city streets of Chicago and Syria. Even when it has little impact, it seems, upon us, it has a profound impact upon God. He not only recognizes the voice of those who fall, it deeply moves him to grief. When blood cries out to us, it often guarantees further cruelty or vengeance or further bloodshed at our hands. This is the human response, isn't it? An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. Blood crying out keeps homes, neighborhoods, and entire nations and peoples trapped into a cycle of violence. This summer is not unlike many summers in Chicago, where multiple children have been caught in the crossfire between rival gangs whose vicious cycles of violence grows and claims the lives of those who are innocent, each gang taking their own vengeance back and forth with these casualties. The senseless death of a child produces a deafening cry of anguish. We seem to hear that blood all too clearly. Just this week, a picture of a five-year-old named Omran in Syria, him covered with dust and blood, produced worldwide outrage, probably because of his youth. His brother, just 5 years older than him, died when their home was bombed. Police continue to kill suspects. Shooters continue to kill police officers. Their blood cries out for justice. Senseless death demands explanation, just as our scripture reminds us. The blood cries out. The waste of human life is itself a call to do what we can do to prevent it from happening again. Blood speaks. Something stirs in us. Something should stir within us. We should all hear the cry of blood. It says something needs to be done. Justice needs to be brought forth. This must stop. This cannot be allowed. Innocent blood should reach the ears of our leaders, our communities, our churches, and we as individuals calling us to action. But if we're not careful, the blood will cry out for more senseless violence, vengeance, and retribution. And God says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And that is the amazing thing about the story of Cain and Abel that we are reminded of this morning. How God responds mercifully and graciously to even to Cain. Cain fears retribution and someone killing him for his crime. But even though God hears his brother's cry for justice and bloodshed against Cain, he spares Cain's life and extends an extraordinary measure of mercy and love, even promising to protect him for the remainder of his life. That is a gracious and merciful response to that blood crying out. And if that is not amazing enough, when God's own Son, Jesus Christ, is crucified, when the whole world puts him to death, when we're all guilty and we have blood on all of our hands, after a mock trial and gruesome crucifixion, God hears the cry of his blood. And our scripture says, "You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." Just as Moses would sprinkle blood on God's people to ratify his covenant and claim them as his daughters and sons, so Jesus sprinkles his blood on us and speaks an even better word than the blood of Abel. Scripture says, "You know that you were ransomed, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus." Jesus' blood still speaks. Do you hear it? Do you hear the cry of his blood? It pleads for you. It's a cry that Scripture says is a better word. The blood of Jesus does not escalate violence. It ends the cycle and circles of violence. His blood cries, "It is finished." The blood of Jesus does not demand vengeance or punishment, but forgiveness. Just as Jesus cried, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing." The blood of Jesus does not cry out for justice and further death, but eternal life. Just as he said to the evildoer, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The blood of Jesus speaks. Do you hear it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.